St. Paul, in the epistle of today's Mass, urges us to live at peace with all men. He says, "Be not wise in your own conceits." And this refers to those who are filled with pride and cannot be counseled or convinced of anything. Typically, these people aim to be the leader in all things, and if they are contradicted, you can expect insult and abuse. It is impossible to convince such a person of anything or to get him to concede a single point. He sticks to everything he thinks, not out of the evidence, the intrinsic evidence, but rather out of his own will, which springs from his own pride. And people who are wise in their own conceits do a great deal of harm to peace, whereas a humble man yields, he receives counsel, and keeps peace with his neighbor. Because a humble man is always ready to give in to the will or the needs or even the preferences of his neighbor, because he counts himself for nothing. Whereas the prideful man, counting himself for something, and indeed something very important, wants his preferences, his needs, to prevail. He says, St. Paul, "Provide things good not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men." This means that you must live in such a way that you not only please God, but also that you scandalize no one, not even your enemies. The command to be at peace with all men goes very, very deep, that you will not even want to offend your enemies. The virtues commanded by Christ are not only those which include adoration, prayer, and piety, that is, those actions by which we directly love God, but it also includes fraternal charity, kindness, justice, giving to everyone his due, patience with the faults of others, and all of the virtues which maintain peace with our neighbor and peace in society. And these are truly supernatural virtues, make no mistake. We hear a great deal about peace today, especially from people like John Paul II. But the peace that they are trying to put in place, and the world is trying to put in place, is a peace that is based on purely natural virtues. And sometimes they are not even virtues, purely natural considerations. The world would like to set up an order, a system of justice, and therefore peace, based on the purely natural needs and ends of man. With a denial of his supernatural goal and end. Whereas the peace which Christ gives is an order, a system of justice, which is based on giving God his due, the supernatural end of man, which is the beatific vision. And these two things are radically different and radically opposed. For to set up a world order of peace and of justice, without reference to man's supernatural end, is first and foremost an insult to Christ the King. Why was Christ crucified? Why did he come? If human beings could set up their whole world order without even mentioning his name, that is an insult to Christ the King. It is also the writing of the death sentence for the human race, for people who believe in the ability of human beings to make their own peace, do not believe in original sin. They do not believe in the effects of original sin. They do not understand that human beings, when left to themselves without grace, will become selfish things that offend against peace constantly and cannot keep peace in their homes and cannot keep peace in their society. But what the world desires is that the individual be ordered to the collective needs of men. And so there, the peace that the world would like to put in is a collectivist peace, where the highest goal of man is to keep the collective good in order, and the purely natural good. And that is an insult to Christ the King, and it is the death sentence of the human race. That will break down, because human beings are incapable even of those virtues for a very long time. St. Paul says, if it be possible, as much as is in you, have peace with all men. And this means that there is a virtual impossibility to achieve peace with everyone. But we should try to do so. And I say there is a virtual impossibility because people do offend. And they offend even beyond that which is tolerable. They might steal from us in a serious way. And where we might bear a little theft, for example, or a little insult, there are times when we cannot bear a grave insult or grave theft or grave cheating or other things of this nature. People do offend, and sometimes we cannot maintain peace. Sometimes duties of state and life require us to resist vice and to abolish public scandals and to correct and punish sinners. For if authority condones the sins of its subjects, then the authority itself becomes guilty of the same evil doing. Silence is consent, and that is particularly true where you have an obligation to raise your voice against something. If you are in a position of authority and you tolerate something or permit something which you ought to condemn, then the silence is presumed to be a consent, unless you make it clear that you are tolerating it in order to avoid a greater evil. But if you say nothing, one could presume that you consent to the evil, and thus authority must raise the sword in order to preserve the peace of Christ. And this is the precise meaning of our Lord's words when he said, "Do not think that I came to send peace upon the earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I came to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And hence you see that our Lord is saying that I am the center of all humanity. I am the center of all human history. All things must bow to me and to my interests. And if my interests, the glory of God, should come between you and your family, and your most beloved on earth, the things that you cherish or the persons that you cherish the most on earth, then I must win. And all other considerations must be set aside. And I come to bring the sword in that sense. I have not come to bring peace, but the sword, he says. Strong words. And so it is a sign of holiness in a person if he seeks peace in everything that costs himself. If it is a matter of paying the price of his own self-interest, self-will, self-love, his own needs, preferences, if it is a question of that, the holy man gives in. But at the same time, he has a zeal to draw the sword without question or hesitation when it concerns the glory of God. But usually, or many times, the opposite is true. That we might be offended if our children, or usually grown children, do not send us a birthday card or a Christmas card, or in some way forget us, or in some way don't think about us. We are dreadfully offended. We hold a grudge for a long time. Yet we are prepared to compromise with them on questions of the faith. That we think that there is absolutely no problem with their public denial of the faith, their apostasy, their living in sin, or any other kind of public repudiation of the glory and rights of God. That those things are acceptable and tolerable, we make no bother about them, but if a birthday card is forgotten, that is like the offense to majesty. That is a sign of worldliness. And even perhaps mortal sin, the state of mortal sin. It is to love the human over the divine. It is to put down the sword when the sword should be taken up, and to take up the sword when it should be put down. It is the spirit of the world, the spirit of humanism. St. Thomas raises the objection, but did not the angel say peace on earth to men of goodwill? He answers by saying that there is a good peace and an evil peace. He quotes wisdom, and it was not enough for them to err about the knowledge of God, but whereas they lived in a great war of ignorance, they call so many and so great evils, peace. And he explains that evil peace is that which is based purely on carnal affections, whereas good peace is that which is based on the love of God, manifested by adherence to his commandments. Hence, any peace in our own families or friends which demands a disobedience to the commandments of God is a peace that is displeasing to him. And so try to maintain peace with all men in whatever costs you your self-love and your self-interest. But raise the sword where the rights of God are in question. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.